Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
She's got weird hair.
Oh!
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, you can still call in. You got more than one sentence now. What'd you think of that game yesterday? Which game? I mean, there were so many good games. So many good games. Basically, the Texans are still in the playoff hunt. They've got a shot. They, right now, are the 8th seed. They're ahead of the Chiefs now. They're ahead of the Ravens. They're just behind Jacksonville at 6-4. So Broncos are the top seed. Then after that, they've got the win, but they got the tiebreaker over New England based on best win percentage in conference games. Then New England is 2, Indy 3, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, the Chargers, and Jaguars. Those are the playoff teams right now. And the Texans have got a shot. Now, you beat Buffalo. Then you got to go to Indy. Then you got to go to Kansas City. So there's nothing easy about this stretch. But this is the stretch of the season that will decide whether or not you're going to make the playoffs. This is the stretch right here. You lose two of these three, I think maybe out. I mean, you think 5-2 down the stretch, 10-7 gets you in.
10-7 gives you a good chance, I think. Because there's going to be some attrition in the AFC West. Not
you're
going
to have
NFC
to beat
North.
The Chargers to do that.
Do you feel good about Jaguars? I mean,
no.
I don't know that the Jaguars, they're in a better position than you are. But
yeah, well, they're 6-4 and you're 5-5, yeah.
The Houston Texans right now, according to ESPN, have an 18.5% chance of making the playoffs.
And which isn't bad after a 3-5 start.
No. Now, you know, that includes needing to win. Your next three are at home against Buffalo, on the road against the Colts, and on the road against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So
this is the
you need to win two of the next three. I would say the most important ones are probably, ironically, not even the division game. I'd say beating the Bills and beating the – although you could make a point that just – it really might not – it really doesn't matter. You just need to win two of the next three.
So if we look at the Jags, they haven't played the Colts at all, and they haven't played the Titans at all. Somehow, some way, deep into the season, they haven't played two of their division rivals yet.
Texans have played Jags and Titans twice. Right?
Yes, they just haven't played the Colts. The Jags will have four
games
left.
Jags are going to – this. There's a good chance that loss of the Texans is going to come back to haunt them.
Yeah, they're 3-1 so far in the division. But they haven't played the Colts yet, so that's a problem. The Chargers game is going to be the game, although the Chiefs game could well too. You might be able to get away with losing to the Colts, but if you beat the Chiefs, I don't know that you're going to go to Indy and win that game. We'll see. But you beat the Chiefs and the Chargers, and then the Colts game at the end of the season.
You have the Raiders and you have Arizona. I mean, those are all winnable games.
Those are winnable games.
But you have two Colts. One
Chiefs, a Bills, and
a Bills and a Chargers. Those are the big five.
Yeah. You still got a shot.
You got to play your best football. Now, you have a defense, obviously, that's looking at the postgame notes here. Let me see, because I've got it. I want to make sure I read this for the Texans. It's really quite incredible. The Houston Texans, let me see if I can pull this up. Chargers, Jaguars. I'll pull it up in a second because I saw something that was absolutely incredible with the Houston Texans from a statistical standpoint. And it really speaks to the defense again. But, and Dell brought this up, and I saw it. Here it is. I saw it pop up again. Let me read you the stat first about the Texans' defense. The Texans have only allowed 163 points through their first 10 games. They're 5-5. That's the fewest points allowed by a team with five or more losses through 10 games since 2003 with Tampa Bay Bucks. So not in 22 years has a team had five losses at or more after 10 games when they are only allowing 16.3 points per game. Now, the defense is very good, right? That for whatever reason, they couldn't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback until the fourth quarter. I think that's the fourth quarter is when they got their first sack on Cam Ward. And that's he's a highly sacked quarterback. And it took a little while. Dell brought this up, and it is true. The one thing that just continues to stick with me a little bit, I know all the numbers say the Texans are an elite defense, and it's the numbers and the numbers. I'm a numbers guy. You know that. However, another late touchdown. This is 2 years in a row where the Texans have issues giving up late touchdowns. And it just doesn't make sense. This time it was a tight end, an H-back getting past Kamari Lassiter for a long catch that ended up turning into a Tennessee touchdown. Now, at the time I even said this, I was really worried because I thought Tennessee would go for two. Tennessee's got to go for two there. You have one win. You have one win. You're not going to extend.
I agree.
You're not going to have another game. What? You go to overtime and somehow you're going to drive the field and score on the Texans again? Probably not. You have a chance to win, to potentially win the game with one. You know, I don't think you would have, but you have a chance to potentially win the game with 1 2-point conversion. Why not take it? Why not take the chance? You know, Mike McCoy is so scared.
Yeah, I would have done. I thought the same thing. You know what? Go for the win. But yeah, well, you would have lost anyway, so. Didn't really matter. The Texans went down and kicked a field goal, but yeah, I agree. What do you got to lose?
You don't have anything to lose.
You don't have anything to lose. You wanted to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all. And that's a sad organization. I'm so happy beating them. Those people. She is the worst. She's the. I honestly, the skunks are on a level with the Woody Johnsons and the Maras. It's terrible. They're terrible. That's terrible ownership. We got great ownership. You know what? We're owner rich. Mm-hmm. What do you say? What do you call it, Lance?
We're the kings and they're we're the queens and they're the sorry.
They're
people.
Sorry people. Yeah. No, but what do you call you?
Well, they're poverty. I mean, they've poverty. Got poverty ownership.
They're poverty owners. Uh-huh. Okay, we don't have poverty owners. Mm-hmm. We got great ownership here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're right in the hunt.
That's right.
And as opposed
here
to
here we are sitting here 5-5, and you guys have one win.
Yeah.
You know,
one win.
You hate us because you ain't us.
Mm-hmm. Firing coaches, you're terrible.
We would never fire a coach after a year.
Well, not Mike Vrabel.
Well, we did it 2 years in a row,
but we.
Not anymore,
not
we would do
Vrabel.
It. Not
Mike Vrabel.
I mean. Can we
hired guys that were it was acceptable to fire.
What did D'Amico do yesterday? It was really not good. I'm trying to remember. D'Amico did something yesterday that people were really upset about. What was it that he did? It was not good. Was it the end of the half? Was it clock management stuff? I'm trying to recall if there was some individual incident, but it's he's lost kind of. I've noticed that D'Amico has lost the confidence of a lot of the fan base now.
Yeah, there was something that was questionable.
There was something, and I can't recall what it is. There was something that had people
The challenge was awful.
Oh, the end of the half, yeah. Challenge, the ball didn't even survive.
No, he
like,
went. I mean, that was
horrible.
Didn't he have somebody upstairs telling him?
Not just that, and he didn't take three. And once again, he went for it. A team that can't convert fourth downs ever, kind of like the Detroit Lions this year.
Yeah.
By the way, analytics has got to be put down. You've got to just start making some common sense decisions based on your opponents. If you're playing the Titans and you already had your missed field goal bailed out by another 15-yard penalty on a field goal, so, right? He doinked it, missed it. They moved in, and then I heard one guy say, "Why are you?" why would you kick a field goal? You got to go for it. I said, have you seen their fourth down conversion offense? It's pretty terrible. It's pretty terrible. And sure enough, it got down to fourth down. They didn't kick a field goal. They went for it on fourth down, failed miserably. You take the field goal there. This is the Titans. They're not going to score a lot of points. Take the points. Take the points. The same way, Dan, if you missed it, Dan Campbell is starting to kill his team. His Riverboat Dan stuff is fun when it's working. But when you're 0-5 on fourth downs and you got a team that's not scoring anything on offense in the Philadelphia Eagles, you killed your team. If you'd be taking points when they were available, you could have won that game. And he didn't. He just refuses to do it. Dan Campbell just says, I just refuse to do it. And now it's an ego thing. With D'Amico, I don't know what his thing is. Like, sometimes he just decided to go for it instead of taking three there. And if you take three, look, you're going to strangle them out. And what did you do before that? You called a timeout, as you mentioned, on a catch, supposedly by it all looked good until the ball popped out. He didn't finish a catch. Yeah. That's a basic one. You called for a flag too early until your guys in the booth did not get a good look at it, and they called for a challenge flag. And you lost the timeout.
Then you get new guys in the booth looking at it.
You had no chance of winning that.
No.
You had no chance of winning
that. The ball rolled through the end zone, and if the ball came flying out, it's immediately not a catch.
Clearly didn't see that when they said the challenge. No, they hadn't seen that angle. So I get it. But at the same time, you lost a timeout on something you had no prayer. D'Amico's now 2-7 on challenges for the year.
Mm. Yikes.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
No, and I think I thought I heard somebody say, like, the coaches are 70% on challenges this year. I doubt that. I thought I heard that somewhere.
That seems a little high.
That's a little high, is right.
I'll try to dig it up, but that seems a little high.
All right, we got to stay. Keep up on break. 713-780-3776. Who wants to get in here? Anything? I mean, this was an exciting. What a great weekend for Houston sports. I mean, the Texans game sucked, but
they still win though.
Yeah, Cougs win. Rockets win too. I mean, Aggies, Longhorns, not so much. We could talk about that on the other side too, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, we're talking about jewelry.
Talk about Zadig Jewelry and Zadig. I'm mentioning Zadig a lot more because I want to make sure that you know that you can start your holiday shopping today. You can start your shopping for birthday gifts, for Christmas gifts, for whatever, Hanukkah, whatever it is that you want to. You got a special moment. You want to tell that special someone in your life how much they mean to you. Why don't you look for a great gift from Zadig Jewelry? They have luxury watches. They have tennis bracelets. They have diamond earrings. They have pendants. They have custom-made jewelry. They can actually make whatever it is that you design or whatever it is that you choose for them to make. They'll make it right there in their store. They can take family heirlooms, and they can melt down the precious metal and then redesign it. Use that to redesign it into something brand new that is going to be your own particular design. And then you continue to pass that down inside the family. That's something a lot of people love to come in and do. And that's one of the things they're known for at Zadig. And of course, they're known for having the best engagement rings and the best engagement process with their upstairs and 28,000 square feet of goodness at Zadig Jewelers. It's Zadig Jewelers, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard.
ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Let me ask you guys if you could get this. One of our listeners, good friend of the show, my suggestion for our big lineup, the Rockets' big lineup, Quinn Towers. Do you guys know what Quinn Towers is?
Quinn Towers.
No, I don't know what that means.
No. Apparently there's a building in Australia, Sydney, Australia, that's called the Quinn Tower.
Okay.
And since
Stephen Adams is from New
Stephen
Zealand.
Stephen Adams, Australian.
He's not Australian.
Or whatever.
He's close. From New Zealand.
Same thing.
I think he might disagree with the same thing.
Same. Well.
South side, north side, John, are they the same thing?
No.
All right, then. So we're talking
everybody knows that two
different countries now. You can't even subscribe to two different parts of the same city being the same thing.
It's a bit obscure, isn't it?
Particularly when it doesn't fit.
Yeah. I think it's close enough.
Albie's from Turkey, and Stephen Adams is from New Zealand.
I think that's why he says Quint Towers. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but I think it's a little obscure for Leo.
You'd have to explain it, and then when people like me start to investigate, you're like, wait a minute, he's not even Australian.
He talks like he's from there, so that's the same thing. Right? I think it's close enough.
Ask Stephen Adams.
They're so far away, it's close enough.
You should ask him next time you see him. Hey, aren't they the same? Hey, look, I mean, you pretend like they're different, but really, aren't they the same?
Aren't you basically the same? It's like Canada and the U.S. It's about the same, except they speak stupid French there, too. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, it's a lot the same.
You think we're the same as Canada?
I think Canada, Canada can be who they are. That little brother can be who they are because they got the protection of the big brother. But
is their big brother England or us?
They wouldn't be this liberal if it wasn't for us being able to protect their ass.
you think countries around the world are just waiting for the U.S. to go, you know what? F Canada. And it'll be over for Canada? Yeah. You think Russia's like...
Well, no, they can always go up. Canada can always go, hey, dude, we're not doing it right. Because they got our protection. That's all.
I never really thought of it that way, that at any point when we pull back, Canada's in for it.
Yeah. Everyone's waiting to advance on the frozen tundra of Canada.
Oh.
Who doesn't want a piece of Manitoba?
Take their maple syrup.
Oh, it's Quinn because it's five. It's five tall guys.
Oh, you're talking about their entire lineup? Sorry, that's not going to work. That's too smart.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's way too.
Like quintuplets?
Way too. Yeah, right. No, they're...
You're going to have to move on. Something else.
You got to... Hey, you know. I mean, good try. I mean, I like that you're the effort, but... Yeah,
no, we're basketball fans. That ain't gonna work.
Most people don't know that quintuplets are five. Anyway,
think of it this way, sir. You know, the Curry Thompson were called the Splash Brothers. Basketball people are so inventive. They looked at Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan struggling in the playoffs and called them the Trash Brothers. That's what we're looking for. Stuff like that.
Oh, right. The Quinn. I got it now. I like the effort, but just not the execution. That's all. 713-780-3776. So, the Horns, they're just not good enough. They're just, the offense is just not good enough. It just isn't. This is really on Sark because that's his side of the ball. And the offensive line is terrible. The wide receivers are not good. I thought Arch, you know, was putting balls on the money. How many drops did he have? And, you know, and he can't do it. I honestly thought Arch played pretty well. And I thought this is just terrible for him. This is just awful.
I think he was fine. I think for him, like what I think of Arch, it was good for Arch. My level is very, very low for Arch Manning. His football play has been pretty, pretty disappointing for most of the year, other than a quarter here or there. I'm not going to like the way he throws the ball. It's very Philip Rivers esque the way, like, it just doesn't come. It comes out low. It comes out from the shoulder. He really has to kind of muscle it in there. But I thought he threw the ball pretty well in the first half, way better than the second half. Second half, he had a bad interception. I think it was on him. I don't think it was on a wide receiver going the wrong way. But you never know with the way the wide receivers played. What piss poor hands in that game.
Oh, my God.
Some atrocious drops. And I thought, you know, Texas went right down the field with a very good drive, the first drive of the game. And I thought, ooh, this is kind of interesting. But it ended up with a three. And then that great Texas defense that has been lauded so often but didn't play well against Florida, didn't play well against, frankly, Kentucky, who had 25 first downs and gained upwards of 300 and some odd yards, and that's a terrible offense. And Mississippi State got rolling on them. Like, this has not been a very good defense relative to what we expected. They were hanging in, but Georgia was converting touchdowns, not field goals, touchdowns. And then the fourth quarter, or then the second half, was just like pure Kirby and Georgia. That's all they've done the second half is they're that dog or that horse that starts slow out of the gate. Although I wouldn't say they started slow against Texas, but they close like a mother. Georgia closes like a mother. And how Kirby Smart was it of him to score the touchdown? Texas goes down, gets touchdown. It gets kind of interesting. What's a four-point game? And then Kirby
gets the fourth quarter.
Then Kirby gets a touchdown and then comes back with an onside kick.
Wow.
And it's just pure Kirby just sticking it up Steve Sarkisian's.
Whoa.
And you always like to go to that type of talk.
What is wrong with you?
Sticking it up things.
Because I really, truly believe that he tries to make a statement against some coaches. And I think it's not a personal thing. I just think he wants to make sure that you know he's better than you, that he's a better coach than you. Sark has been outcoached by Kirby on a regular basis. I don't think I'm saying anything out of line. And there are Longhorn fans who are starting to think that Sark's the issue. You don't have a hard time getting there because I think Sark is a pretty good play caller, but the results are the results. At some point, I have to just look at the results.
What do you mean the results?
Well, he can't get over the hump.
Well,
in situations, he can't. He
who
just
is Texas looking for other than Saban to come out of retirement?
No, I mean you don't. We talked about you don't. I'm not looking for a change. I think that could be a huge mistake. Sark's got you in a pretty good position. Now this has been. A disappointing year for Longhorns. They got three losses at this point. They're still technically in the playoff hunt. If they beat the Aggies, they still might.
Well, how do you see the committee treating them now? Because the AP dropped them quite a bit, but we know that doesn't matter.
Well, go do the math on all the teams getting in. Solis and I did this. Now, it would have helped if you had stayed close in the fourth quarter. That would have really helped.
Honestly, who
do you think gets in? Just start doing some math on it.
Realistically, no, they have no chance.
Why?
They beat the Aggies and they got three losses. They're not in. No, they're not in.
I know you're saying that. Run through the teams making it.
Well, you'd have to start looking at
how many SEC teams are getting in.
Well, Ole Miss survived, so they're likely locked in. We'll see what they do in the Egg Bowl.
Oklahoma still has to.
Now, Missouri and LSU aren't great, but Oklahoma's offense isn't good. We haven't talked much about that, but they got outgained by nearly 200 yards and still won the game. So they have a big win against Alabama.
And despite the loss to Texas and the ass kicking, they're getting in before Texas.
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
If they don't lose another game.
If they don't lose another game, they're in.
Probably so. Yeah, they only have two, right?
They have the home games against Missouri and LSU, which they'll be favored in, but their offense is so questionable. Who knows how those two games go? We saw them. They're not good offensively. They got exactly what they needed. They got a pick six and then another fumble that set up the game winning field goal. It was a Venables masterclass, but that offense is bad, at least against good competition.
It really is.
So you go to the Big 12.
You know Texas, by the way, Alabama controls their fate still?
Yeah. They still get to the SEC title game. It's fine. Good.
I wouldn't want to get there.
Would they punish them if they lose an SEC title game?
I don't think so, but it'd be a three-loss Alabama team. And then at that point, you got to put Texas in.
Is that how it is?
Because they have Arch. They have Arch.
Okay. But as far as
people want to see Cooper Manning and
you say how many SEC teams? A&M is in. Georgia's in. Ole Miss is in.
Those three are
in. That's three. Those three Oklahoma is more than likely in. And Alabama is more than likely in.
Oklahoma, Vanderbilt. Well, we already had Alabama. You said Georgia.
Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, A&M.
Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, A&M.
There's room for fifth.
Yeah, those four. So it'd be Oklahoma, Texas, Vanderbilt, right? Those three.
Those are the three other options.
Vandy has Tennessee on the docket.
Yes.
But who does Oklahoma have?
I told you they have two home games against Missouri and LSU. If they win them, they're in. But
Oklahoma has that.
Yeah, but who's to say?
But LSU.
Alabama just has.
But their defense is fine.
And it just has Auburn.
Yeah, but Alabama's we already put aside saying they're in. The question is
Auburn
Texas,
has
Oklahoma,
some talent. I will just say that. Auburn has
some
talent.
Their defense is good.
Yeah.
Can they get an Oklahoma type of scenario?
I just wrote up Keldrick Falk this weekend. He's got a chance to be a player.
So as far as your question, Lance, regarding Texas, they're going to need Oklahoma to falter.
It'll be pretty tough.
And they're going to need something odd to happen in the Big 12 where they only get one. It doesn't have to be that odd, but they need BYU and Utah to falter.
I mean, they were outgained, 200 to Bama, Oklahoma? You're right. Oklahoma wasn't
There's no guarantee.
Mateer is really his, I'm telling you, his star is really
Missouri,
faded.
Well, they got the young quarterbacks, so who knows? But LSU and Missouri.
LSU's offense stinks, too.
So that's a defensive struggle. So who knows how those games go?
Yeah. It's no, I mean, they're both. I wouldn't just. I mean, it's the SEC. I wouldn't just chalk up Oklahoma wins automatically. But then Texas and A&M, like, Texas is going to have their hands full. I guess the bookmaker said Texas was going to be a favorite.
That's what they said during the broadcast.
I just cannot believe that. And I know A&M played like Dookie, and it would have been weird to see A&M lose. If A&M had gotten beat 17 at home, 13 to South Carolina, and then lost to Texas, they're still in the playoffs, but how weird would that have been? That would have been extraordinarily strange to have a team with just zero momentum getting in.
Well,
now,
State
as it stands,
lost to Michigan now and went
stands,
on the win
They
at
may
all.
Have had – the Aggies probably will get their worst football out of the way in that game. I say probably, but I don't know.
Who knows?
Listen, there is no scenario for Texas to make it. Zero. No
I think they'd have to blow out A&M and have a lot of stuff go their way.
So Oklahoma loses to LSU and Vanderbilt loses to Tennessee. Why is there no scenario? And they beat Texas A&M.
Then there's only four SEC teams. That's why.
Who else are you putting in?
Another ACC team?
No. The issue there is if Georgia lost to Georgia Tech in Atlanta, that's a viable way for Georgia Tech to get in, even if they don't win the ACC title game.
It would put them in a discussion for sure.
Yeah. And, of course, the other discussion will be –
man, they looked booty against Boston College.
Their defense has been really bad.
One win Boston College, and Georgia Tech looked awful.
That's coming off
– I didn't know their defense was that bad. Boston College was scoring every 2.5 minutes.
That came off a game where they gave up 40-plus points to NC State, and then we saw NC State this weekend get – pummeled by Miami.
I'm not sure Georgia Tech is that.
You just have to hope for rivalry things to happen against Georgia. Yeah. But Texas has a path because the other contenders outside of the SEC aren't great. The BYUs, the Utahs,
Virginia Hammer,
the ACC, getting a second feels unlikely unless they decide the Miami win over Notre Dame means more than they've decided so far.
Okay, so that's one the path. One ACC, four SEC, then you got one Big 12?
At this point, unless Tech doesn't win the title.
That's the only way. Because then Tech would still get in. So that's six.
And then you look at the Big Ten.
Ohio State, seven. Oregon.
Michigan is still alive.
Michigan's alive. They don't feel like one of those
USC
teams.
Plays Oregon this weekend.
They have to win.
Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana is what, nine?
Yes, and you have to.
So we're up to nine now.
No matter who wins that Oregon-USC game, one of them's in. Whoever wins that game is in for sure.
But I'm counting one of them already.
And then you think about.
So we're at nine.
And if Michigan somehow beats Ohio State again, they're in at 10-2.
Yep.
Probably a group of five.
Well, it has
they
to
have
be.
To, well, I thought that, no, I think there's something.
No, it has to be the top-ranked group of five.
Yeah, there's two ranked teams now, or there will be. James Madison and North Texas.
So I still think there's a spot open for. I think a fifth team is going to get in for the SEC. If you run all the numbers, a fifth team's going to get in for the SEC. It's a matter of who. Now, Texas clearly needs things to happen. Well, I would say they are the longest shot based on. Oklahoma has the best shot. I guess Vanderbilt.
Tennessee beats Vanderbilt. They leap Texas.
Tennessee does?
Well, Tennessee won't get in.
No.
Even if they beat Vanderbilt.
Well, they've got three losses, too. You take Tennessee probably beating Vanderbilt late.
If Texas beats A&M, they're not going to.
Texas would have the best win
over Oklahoma and Texas A&M.
Two teams in the playoff as it stands now. So Texas would get in if we're comparing the two.
Yeah.
But I just don't know.
And their losses would be to
Florida's
number
a bad
one
loss.
Ohio State. Yeah, and then Florida's a bad loss.
Yeah.
But they would get in ahead of Tennessee. We'll see what happens. I think five SEC gets in. It's not strong enough to really support a bunch of entries from any other conference.
We'll see how they treat Texas.
And Michigan's not going to beat Ohio State. Stop
Why
saying
not?
Crazy stuff.
Why not?
Stop saying crazy
it's not,
stuff.
I know you're playing a game here.
It's not only four in a row.
There's no
and
way.
Worse Michigan
There's
teams
no
have
way.
Beaten Ohio State before.
Yes.
I don't know.
Much worse.
Like last year's
Bryce Underwood
team was awful.
Does not strike me as a guy who can
they
win
They beat
this
him
game.
With Davis Warren at quarterback.
The Bryce and Sharon combo does
you,
not
you
feel like a winning
You
combo.
Can't say anything.
But it is at Michigan.
They beat all the the impending national champion yep. on the road with Davis Warren and Sharon Moore playing quarterback. Yeah. I mean, the coach.
That was a head. That was the quarterback, Davis Warren?
Yes.
Who's ever heard of him?
Exactly. Never rule it out.
All right. Let's not rule out Craig DeSurf either.
No, never do. I never count Craig DeSurf out, especially when you got a red tag sale going on where you get 0% APR financing and over $3,000 in bonus cash given your way if you're a Costco member at all. If you're an executive member, it's $1,250 off. If you're just a regular Costco member, that's $1,000 off. Like, they have so much just for being a Texas resident. There's money off. What they're doing now is giving you bonus cash and low finance rates for so many of the vehicles they have in stock right now. And this is really, in my opinion, this is maybe the best time I've ever seen to stop in and get a Chevy, especially. They have unbelievable deals on Chevy Equinox, the Chevy electric vehicles, on, as I mentioned before, the Chevy Silverado pickup truck. So if you're looking for Chevys, a lot of them have the red tag sales going on right now, which are deep, deep discounts. Remember that the trade-in value they give you for your pre-owned vehicle is substantial. They love pre-owned vehicles. There's a lot of value with them right now, and there has been for well over a couple of years now. And then on top of that, they want to make sure that, you know, you get exactly what you're looking for on the interior as well as the exterior. So they'll find the vehicle that you want. That's the way they do business. It's all about customer service, great prices, great selection, and, you know, something to make you happy as a car buyer. It's Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC right there in Angleton. Stop on in and save thousands. Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, GMC.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I've got Aggies mad that I'm talking about Texas being able to make it. I didn't think they could either until Solis and I were going through the scenario, and there is a way that Texas can still get in. I thought they were dead if they lost this game, but they're still, they need help, and they obviously have to beat the Aggies. But they can still, listen, any SEC team always has a chance. That's just a fact. The SEC is always going to, they're going to take all of your money. They're going to drink your milkshake. They're going to siphon gasoline out of your car. Sounds whatever illegal. You think you have, whatever you think you have, the SEC is going to take it. And Greg Sankey is going to believe he should take it.
Well, they're following the Notre Dame model. Notre Dame has always been able to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so SEC is like, hey, we can do that too.
Hey, we've got some sound from the weekend. I actually want to, the Texans, D'Amico was really, really happy. And he deservedly so. You work all week, and it's hard to win in the NFL. It was just an awful, awful game. It was not good. But speaking of the Longhorns, Kirby Smart had an interesting quote about the culture that won in the fourth quarter. And I don't know if this was a shot at the Longhorns or this was just, I don't know, him just spouting off about their own culture. But here's Kirby talking about why they won that fourth quarter.
Being the more physical. Yeah, it's the approach we take. We're gonna dominate and try to win the fourth quarter. It's what we do in practice. It's what we do in the off season. It's what we build our core culture around, is being the more physical team. You have to recruit physical players, and they have to buy into that process. I don't know that a lot of these kids nowadays, they want to check. They don't want physicality. And if you have the check and no physicality, you end up with nothing. So we're not just getting checks at our place. We're hitting people.
You think that was directed?
No,
at the Horns?
I think it's directed at college football. Now, if Steve Spurrier had said it, 100%. I don't know.
If Lane Kiffin had said it,
100%.
Yeah,
we just find ways to score touchdowns down around 2-3 yard line. We like scoring touchdowns down there.
That would have been a shot at the Texans.
He'd have been Sark and the Texans. Because remember, Sark doesn't score down there either. Yeah, maybe you didn't hear. Sark doesn't score inside the three.
That pre-snap motion. Can't help you in the end zone inside the five.
Oh, that looked pretty, though.
Oh, look. You lead the nation in pre-snap motion.
So my wife listens to podcasts at 1.75. This is a thing. I don't even know why. They now have this option available on Netflix to watch movies faster. This is now an option. We went from just from the closed captions on everything, having it always open. Now people are listening to podcasts at 1.5, 1.75, and then 2 is just too fast. She listens at 1.75, which is very hard to hear. She'll listen to books online at that. That's how Kirby speaks. When I'm listening to Kirby, I thought, somebody sped this up. This isn't really how fast a human talks. This is because Jimbo Fisher also talks fast like that. Kirby, play it again. Listen to how fast he's. Tell me that this doesn't sound like somebody has sped this up. Listen to this, John. Hold on.
Yeah, it's the approach we take. We're gonna dominate and try to win the fourth quarter. It's what we do in practice.
Stop
it's
what
we
right do in
the season. It's what we build.
That's a little fast.
There's no way that's the real speed.
That actually is, and I upped it by 24%.
You did,
and you thought it was still Kirby talking at a normal rate of speed. I upped it 24%.
Why'd you do that?
Because we make jokes here, but
because that is
just to see if you could tell the
just
difference.
Now you did,
yeah, just to see if you could tell.
Oh, because I was about to say that really sounds fast.
No, that was sped up a little bit.
Well, even the one before it sounded fast to me. But look at Dell, because we do jokes here.
Here is Kirby normally.
Yeah, it's the approach we take. We're gonna dominate and try to win the fourth quarter. It's what we do in practice. It's what we do in the offseason. It's what we build our core culture around, is being the more physical team. You have to recruit physical players, and they have to buy into that process. I don't know that a lot of these kids nowadays, they want to check.
That's how
they don't want physicality.
That's how Dell and Mapes are. They're just trying to get checks.
You are like a college football coach. You don't want kids getting checks.
He's trying to get checks.
He's always trying to take money out of Mapes' pocket.
Dell's just trying to get checks.
Like anytime.
Him and Mapes are trying to get checks. And then Mapes wants to go home and play video games.
That's true.
And not do the work to take. And he's taking
work?
Game off. There's work to be done. There's heavy lifting to be done.
What?
Here.
Do you know what our jobs are?
A lot of editing.
There's a lot of editing.
Not really for my show.
Oh, speaking of that.
We just play the sound I edit for this show.
Mapes last week went and took advantage of the free side order at Burger Chan whenever the Texans win. I think I'm going to go do that today.
Oh, yeah, they did win.
Yeah, they won. So free side order
Burger
for
Chan,
lunch.
Free Burger side.
Chan. Yep, free side. Just buy a hot, their hot dogs are awesome, but they're known for their burgers, chicken sandwich, whatever.
Glizzy Chan is what you're calling them?
Well, they do have the Glizzy.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
Wow, don't call it Glizzy Chan.
Glizzy Chan.
Why not?
Hey, listen, at exactly 9 o'clock, we are going to give away two tickets to the Cougs game. How about the Cougs playing TCU on Saturday at TDECU Stadium? If you're looking for a couple of tickets, we got them. At exactly, it's going to be the senior game. Cougs back in the top 25, by the way. So guess what? Ranked in the top 25, tickets are starting at just $25. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets. At exactly 9 o'clock, 713-780-3776, caller number 3 is going to get two tickets to the Cougs and TCU. And a reminder that Thanksgiving is coming up, and if you haven't ordered your turkey from Damaris, do it now. It's the best damn turkey I've ever eaten. Their Cajun deep-fried turkey is the best turkey you will have ever had. I'm guaranteeing it, okay? So go to Damaris.com to get your order in right away. But first, what about buy that house, Lance?
I'm talking about my guy Sean at Greenlot. I hadn't been able to tell you about this for a while, so I'm pretty excited to tell you about Greenlight Offer. Greenlight Offer is a great spot for you for very specific people, and I'm going to tell you who they are right now. Let's say you have been transferred with your job and you need to sell your home quickly. Greenlight Offer does everything for you. They say, look, we're going to give you a fair cash offer. We're going to get you taken care of. You do nothing. Don't worry about getting your house ready. Don't worry about showings. Don't worry about any of that stuff. We're going to get it knocked out for you. They can get closing done in many cases 7 to 10 days. So that's that frequently can happen so that you don't have the hassle. People who are in a divorce situation and you're going to split up equity of the home, there's a lot of times that people want to get that taken care of through Greenlight Offer. People who, and this is one of the big ones, people who have a home that is willed to them because of a death in the family, they're great at saying, hey, look, we'll come in there. We'll take care of everything that's in the house. We'll do everything for you. We're just going to make sure that you get the money. This is what Greenlight Offer does. They're exceptional at that, and they do that for thousands of Houstonians every single year, and you could be one of those people. Don't have to show your home. Don't have to get it ready. Greenlight Offer and Sean and the good people over at Greenlight Offer will get it done for you. Start the process right now. Go online and start the consultation with them at greenlightoffer.com. That's greenlightoffer.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. We called for calls. We got them. 713-780-3776. We got Chris up first. Chris, what did you think of this weekend?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Super Longhorn fan. Very disappointed with how the season's gone. I do like when Longhorn Scott calls in because he makes me feel better about the Longhorns. But Lance, I was going to ask, I don't know a lot about the money situation with different colleges. I know the Longhorns have a lot of money. Are they, like, how Texas Tech did with buying their team and the billionaire guy? Do the Longhorns have that kind of money, like, where people can step in and say, hey, we need to go get some better talent next year? That's the kind of money Longhorns have. I've never really thought about it like that, but now seeing Texas Tech success and some of the guys they brought in, is that something the Longhorns would have the ability to do? No, I think it's less than Texas.
Yes. So less of it. So now there's two phases. It's been changed. So you have the revenue share phase, which not every team can get to the revenue share cutoff. There's some teams that can't even come close to it. They don't make enough money. So they're kind of stuck in that regard. And then you have the NIL piece. And so there's two different ways you pay players, the revenue share, and then with $16.5 million, I believe, going to football, and teams are now figuring out, all right, our quarterbacks are going to be this percentage, running backs, wide receivers, offensive linemen, so on and so forth. So they figure that out. The NIL is where they, you know, I know there's a clearinghouse that's supposed to make sure that all NIL deals are real NIL deals, but there's so many of them going through their desk that I think they have to get them approved, and I think that we're back at just, you know, you just have to basically give an idea of what your NIL is, and they just say, okay, that's good. And so that's the other way that you pay players. And yes, the teams with this is a huge discrepancy now. It's gotten really bad where if you have, like, West Virginia screwed. I talked to a guy who was their GM and told me how bad it was for them. For example, just giving you an example of a team. Texas A&M, Florida, Ohio State, Michigan. These teams all have huge advantages because they got the most money. So as long as you have, and that's why Texas Tech became a sudden player. Joey McGuire's a good coach, but, I mean, money gives you a chance. You got to have money. If you don't have money, you'll eventually lose your players anyway. So you can recruit as good as you want. You'll lose your guys within 2 years. It won't matter. You can't hang on to them. So if you don't have money, you don't really have a chance to have sustained excellence unless you're in a lower conference, and that gives you a chance. But you still will lose your Matthew Goldens, you know, like you're still going to lose those guys. That's just the nature of it now. It's a never ending free agency. So whoever has the most money, and Texas has a tremendous amount of money, tremendous. They might have the most. They're not hurting from a money standpoint. Sometimes they hurt from an evaluation standpoint, but not a money standpoint.
Oh, Texas has got plenty of money.
A lot of money. I mean, always have.
Yeah. The Aggies and the Longhorns.
A&M has it too.
A&M, and they're thought to be the two biggest programs money-wise, those two. And I'm not even sure in what order. But, yeah. Not worried about money. Who's next? Glass? Did you say his name's Glass? All right, let's get Glass in here. Hey, Glass.
Ooh. It's one of those bangers for on hold.
I love when we get put on hold.
I know, I love that too. I think it's good radio.
I mean, he wasn't on hold as long as Chris. Chris somehow managed to be ready.
Let me switch over to the other line. I'm sure they're not going to get to me. Even though you know we get to people faster than any other
show.
That's
not true. You have set a standard of making people wait.
This is a banger.
It's a classic on hold song. We've heard it before.
While we wait, apparently, I will tell you that Dylan Danis, a guy who is, hello?
No, he just
I pulled him down.
Oh, okay. Dylan, I thought he was Dylan Danis, who is a, I guess, a training partner of Conor McGregor's, got into yet another fight at a UFC event with all of the Dagestanis, all the Dagestani team members of, I think it was Islam Makhachev. I can't remember which Dagestani who's dominating the UFC it was this time, but he basically got jumped on by about 15 Dagestanis. He decided he was going to fight the entirety of the country. And for his services, for his decision, Dana White has banned him from all future events. I watched that fight. That was pretty wild. That was, I don't know how, I would hate to have to be, you know, honestly, I wouldn't want to have to be security at a UFC event, because I've been to plenty of them.
Oh, yeah.
And you got a bunch of feel strongs in there who get whipped into a frenzy. Crowd. And yeah, and you got guys just waiting to throw hands.
There's more tattoos than I've ever seen. And then there's the guys, too. Holy crap. It is something.
Now, you got guys who are jacked up, testosterone.
Nope.
Joe Rogan's best friend. I mean,
they've been
listening. They're buying everything Joe Rogan is selling, and they really want to test themselves. They're hoping to test themselves at that fight.
Yep.
Please bump into me. Please don't apologize.
They're big fight enthusiasts.
Now, have you ever noticed that? Now, this one happened literally like on the floor, like very close to the action, because they were fighting. One guy's a fighter, and the other guys are fighters or trainers and whatever. But most of the time, I've noticed, at NFL fights that you see, for example, it's always upper deck. Have you noticed that? The nastiest fights are more upper deck.
The money doesn't want to get in a fight.
Yeah, money's
paid
not,
a lot of money for
money's
these
not looking to fight. But you get up in the upper decks, and you better watch yourself. You better not get too lippy.
Speaking
now,
of Venom,
I have noticed that Raider games, it jumps off in any concourse. It really doesn't matter. At a 49er or Raiders game, it really doesn't matter. By the way, I was watching Seattle versus the Rams. Holy crap, was that loud for the Seahawks fans. Seahawks fans turned that one into
an L.A. game. Of course
yeah,
it is.
But I thought it was just Chargers that got rolled like that. I guess it's maybe the Rams, too.
Yeah, no, the Rams do, too. Are you kidding? When San Francisco played the Rams here, it was all red. It was all red. Hmm. I mean, yeah, that's just
Los Angeles is red.
The only thing, I went to the Rams-Texans game, and there were more Rams fans. That made me a little bit disappointed, if you want to know
what?
The truth.
You thought the Texans would travel?
I thought the Texans travel, not like that.
No.
Not like that.
Not to dwarf another team's fan
like
base, even if it is the Rams.
Not like Pittsburgh or San Francisco.
Speaking of
the
Pittsburgh,
49ers and Broncos and Steelers fans travel now.
John, are you going to issue an apology?
For what?
You mentioned Pittsburgh for your LSU player doing what he did on Sunday. Are you going to issue an apology
Jamar
for Jamar Chase?
Chase
did not
Jamar
spit
Chase?
On
nah,
him.
We
Jamar
got video,
Chase said, I've never spit on him.
And then we saw the video. He did spit
Does
on
he
him.
Does he think that there's no cameras
Just
at that
never
game?
Never spit on
Does
him.
Does he think that's the Wilt Chamberlain 100-point
no,
game and there's no cameras?
There's video and there's plenty of spittle coming out of Jamar Chase.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, one
I
grown
see
man
it.
Spit.
I, you can't.
Jalen Carter did the same thing.
It's a pretty easy Google.
You guys were taken in by Ballsack.
No, that's what you do. It was on. It's been seen. He spit on him.
SEC players spit on other people.
I am in no.
That's what I learned.
I'm not looking to back sassy Florida State corner / safety now, Jalen Ramsey.
No one ever wants to be on Jalen Ramsey.
I don't
want to
be on his side.
I
hope he punched Jamar Chase without provocation. I was looking for that, but you see it.
That was a lot. That was a good chunk of spit.
It's on ESPN right now, front page.
And you notice how Jamar Chase never even reacted?
No, he was.
When he was getting. He
manhandled by the helmet?
Yeah. He also probably felt like.
Made a mistake here.
Spat on another grown man. That's probably not great.
It's
ideal.
An SEC thing. Jalen Carter did it earlier. You guys got a problem in that conference.
You guys in that conference. You know who never spits on people? The Big 12.
That's right.
Big 12
it's upstanding.
The Big 12 does things
all they're doing is gimmicky linebacker cat to get Jacob Rodriguez a touchdown and so he can do another Heisman pose. That's the stuff they're up to. Those are their hijinks. SEC, we spit on you.
I don't see any.
Well, the SEC did throw a little hitch pass to a tackle.
I don't see any spit.
That's true. But at least it wasn't for the Heisman. It was to score.
Right. And then they ran him a wildcat, too.
Yeah.
A direct snap to the...
I'm going to tell Tech fans or their administrators, look, the buckus is what you're looking for. That's what Rodriguez is in line for. If you got to do the gimmick stuff to try to get him a touchdown,
he's got a mustache,
against UCF,
feel good story.
Look, no one watched that game. It's UCF. Credit to domination, but running wildcat with your linebacker to get him a touchdown, the stats aren't going to be enough. Hope he gets the butt kiss. That's all I'm saying. He ain't winning the Heisman.
I think this is AI induced.
Stop it, John. Spit. The spit is everywhere.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
You know what Lance says.
We got a winner to the
tickets.
What
did I say? I like to spit in his mouth while he sleeps.
That's what
Jamar Chase says that now, too.
Why was I so mad at Sean McVay?
Because he had a hot model
girlfriend
at the time.
He was Russian, right?
Yeah.
And
he was well on his way to winning a Super Bowl or something. I don't know.
Yeah he had things. It was a good run.
He had a good run.
It was a good run for him.
And you overreacted.
And he's still having a good run.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Best team in the NFC? Maybe in all of football.
He's on a great run. And Sam Darnold with 4 more picks. Mm.
I mean, don't act like you don't know that he and Daniel Jones have that in them. They do have that in them, by the way. The Colts are just sitting there thinking, I hope we stay ahead.
Sam Harden really can't
just keep Jonathan Taylor healthy.
It is true. You get to a big game and he did go elimination James.
Last year, 2 games in a row, and now this one. That was terrible.
Not good.
All right. University of Houston's got a big game coming up this Saturday at TDECU Stadium, taking on the Horned Frogs. The Cougs 8-2, nationally ranked, top 25. Game theme is senior game. Get there early, honoring the seniors. Tickets start at just $25 because they're a top 25 team. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Get your tickets today. 8-2, top 25. Show this team what Cougar pride really looks like this Saturday, senior day. Nationally ranked Cougs taking on TCU, who got their ass handed to them, by the way, last week. So the Cougs need to do that, too. 713-GO-COUGS, uhcougars.com/tickets. Tickets start at just $25. Get there.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's, Jane. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.